Rokan Show. That's, well, that was me, and then that's the show right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, the top 5-5 after the top of the hour. Is your grandmother on Tinder? We're gonna tell you. If you're suspicious that your grandmother might be on Tinder, you might want to stay tuned. Because we found a grandmother on Tinder is the point. Also, Kim Fox, despite having some bad news in the afternoon with Jussie Smollett just now being indicted by the special prosecutor for lying to police and disorderly conduct, that shouldn't really be a charge because I'm guilty of that all the time. But he has, but the lying to police piece is big. Kim Fox was endorsed by over 100 clergy today, and there's some very interesting audio of that. And Cindy Crawford's son lashes out at critics because he got a face tattoo because he's a moron. All right, let's talk to Rick Tallender right now. I want to follow up on a story that Kevin Powell's been bringing you in the sports department, and I think this is pretty fascinating. Rick Tallender, of course, longtime Chicago Sun-Times man. I once said he won a Pulitzer Prize. I stand by it, even though the Pulitzer people said no. And there is, and people will know that Rick played college. He was a big high school athlete and a college athlete, played at Northwestern, and you played football there. There is now a furtherance of the debate as to whether college athletes should be paid for their activities on the field. And we've talked about this over the years a number of times, and it seems to me that we're getting closer to that actually happening. What do you think?
You talking to me?
Hey, yeah, bro. I'm talking to you, yes.
Oh, okay. I was just listening. I'm sorry.
So the NCAA, let me just set this up better. The NCAA president, Mark Emmett, urged Congress to step in today to put restrictions on college athletes' ability to earn money from endorsements, telling the Senate committee that the federal action was needed to maintain uniform standards in college sports. But I think that the horse got out of the barn here anyway.
Well, listen, I've been writing about this, I got to say, I hate to say it, but 40 years. Mm-hmm. More. And I actually have a book called The 100-Yard Lie. It's about football, the corruption of college football, and what we can do to change it. Listen, it'd be great if we didn't have to pay anybody, and we didn't have to talk about money. But we have to, and the people who run it, the NCAA, the college coaches, the athletic directors, they started it. They did not have to sell their teams to TV networks. They did not have to make $8, $9, $10 million a year. Assistant coaches now making $2 million a year. They didn't have to have the players play 14, 15-game seasons. None of that had to happen. They didn't have to build 100,000, 110,000-seat stadiums, but they did. And once you do it, then the horse is way out of the barn. But the reason this continues on, Ro, is because the players are as powerless as any group could ever be. It's shut up and play, and if you don't play, we'll cut you. You won't be in college. Good luck going anywhere else because you only got, you know, 3-4 years to do this. You have no group, no bargaining power, no nothing. So it's the most uneven deal that I've ever seen. And every now and then, a few players will get a little uppity and, you know, create some problems like Kane Coulter at Northwestern back in the day, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that was just, you know, by the time it gets anywhere, he's out of school. You're gone.
Right.
So this thing's just going on and on. If they want it this way, it's, you know, listen, if you're conservative and you believe in the free market and you believe in people making money, what this actually says, the NCAA believes, we like to make money ourselves, but not you.
So what the NCAA argues, though, what this president argues, is that, as they have forever, in these 40 years of debate, it has been the same answer from them, which is these guys are getting, you know, a free college education, which now, especially at Northwestern, is a very expensive item. And if you're out of state at some of these other state schools, that they're getting that. And that's the advantage. That's what everybody gets, whether you're playing lacrosse or you're playing football or you're on the crew team or you faked your way into the crew team. It doesn't matter. You're going to get
it. I got a simple response to that, Ro. Yeah. Very simple. You say, well, you give them this free scholarship. That's worth money, isn't it? I say, yeah, it's worth a lot of money. The ADs and the presidents. Well, we've already established that you're paying them. It's just the coin. And if you think a scholarship where half the time they demand you to be in a certain major, you don't have time to go to school.
Right.
You know, try going to college when your knee is in a cast or your shoulders kill you because it's dislocated or you got a concussion. That doesn't happen to an average student. If you're paying them, just pay them. Give them the money, whatever they want. But they were trading you with apples because you work in the orchard. That's such BS. You know what? Give the coaches education then too. Make that trade off. Why do they get $10 million? Dabo Swinney makes close to 10. Why does he get all that money and the players get an education? What's the deal? I mean, explain that to me. And I'll tell you what, I've debated this for decades, and I can beat anybody. I don't care who they are, college presidents, Mark Emmert, any of these guys, because it's a fraudulent, hypocritical equation. And it just is. But it'll continue on, and I love Emmert saying, if we do this, it's always like, oh, my God, what will happen? It's the end of the world. We don't have orderly. It might create corruption in the recruiting process. Oh, my God. If you watch stuff like I have, remember, I was the lead college football national for Sports Illustrated for years. That's what led me to write The 100-Yard Lie, which is going to be reissued, by the way. I wrote it in 1989. It's going to be reissued because nothing has changed. It's hilarious, and it'll continue on. And they say, "Oh my God!" They wring their hands. Give them a bowl of water. Let them do the Pontius Pilate stuff. I have no sympathy for that at all. Nothing, and especially all these people who say, "Oh my God, I would take a free education." They say, "You know what? Good luck. Do it. Get out there. Run a 4.44 40. Be 6'2", 270. Right. Get your ear hold. Do it." But they can't. And so anyway, Ro, you can tell I'm a little...
Yeah, you're a little emotional. Rick, hold on 1 second. I want to come back to you because I think you're making an excellent point, but let me do this first. Let's check the traffic and the weather with Lauren Lapkin. Right before we took the break, a very fired up Rick Tallender, who is a longtime writer in the Chicago Sun-Times, but also, as he just pointed out from Sports Illustrated, he was the NCAA football guy, in terms of looking at all of these things. Because I know for 4 decades, Rick Tallender has been interested in whether or not this argument will ever go through that athletes, specifically the high-profile basketball and football athletes at the NCAA level, will ever get paid for their participation. Which leads me to this question, because you did The 100-Yard Lie, is your book that is now being republished on this exact issue. And what year did you originally write that?
Well, it was either 89 or 90. I was writing it all through the late 80s, and there were so many things that were out of control back then. So I think it was 1989, 90, somewhere right now.
Okay.
But you read it now, it stands up.
Like
it was written yesterday.
Yes, it stands up to time. All right. So let me ask you the question that a lot of people wonder who have kids that are athletes in college, but they may not be football players or basketball players. What about the non-revenue sports? Do the universities have to be? Because today, the hook for this story today, the peg for this story today, is that the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, went to Congress. He wants them to step in to put restrictions on college athletes' ability to earn money from endorsements, which is the camel's nose under the tent here. Right. In the sense that then the universities, if they get money for endorsements, when does it happen that the universities have to pay? What is the argument? What is the argument, Rick Tallender, for what happens to the kids who are on the field hockey team, the women on the field hockey team in college? Do they get paid?
Well, here's the thing. If it's the open market, Ro, and does this create problems? Sure, it does. But first of all, you establish what's correct and non-hypocritical. If the field hockey team makes money, then sure. But I can guarantee you all they do is cost money. And one of the arguments, which I find fascinating, is that the NCAA has always said, if we don't have all the, if we pay the football players, if we cut back on the football program, they make all the money. How in the world are we going to support the minor sports? That's like saying we're in college, and the English department has to support the math department and the geography department or whatever else. It's like it's a non sequitur. There's so many of these props. All you have to do is look at the NCAA rule book. It's massive. And all it's trying to do, it's a Rube Goldberg process, trying to prop up something that's indefensible. And you have to go back all the way to amateurism. Amateurism, there's no virtue to amateurism. We have put that on it. Making no money is not, there's nothing inherently great about that. And I'll give you a little example. This marathoner just the other day won a big marathon in New York, or I don't know, somewhere, it must have been in the South. And he's from Nigeria or Kenya or whatever, and he got $4,500. I just read this in the paper, and he was overjoyed. He's got a house that he is half built in Nigeria, I believe it is. And his whole family, you know, it's not like his parents and all and his kids are living in two rooms. And he said, I'll take this money. If possible, I can raise some more crops. If not, I hope I can finish my house. Okay, now you tell me that there's something wrong with giving somebody money. What is wrong? And if the field hockey team, the softball team, the volleyball team, swimming team, if they can make money, then share it with them. If not, then figure out how the university can support those teams, which they do, because they find them worthwhile. I think they're very worthwhile. Listen, I had three kids go to college and play sports, NCAA sports, and it was wonderful for them. And anybody can do it, it's wonderful. And two of them are girls, by the way, women. So this is not just about men. But if you think that NCAA football and basketball, which are made for TV, you know, the Final Four or the March Madness,
right,
and then the National Championship, if you think that's all about amateurism, whatever the hell amateurism is, which is nobody really knows exactly what it is, then you're crazy.
So what a model, you know, Rick Tellender from the Chicago Sun-Times has written a book about whether or not college athletes should be paid. And again, this is relevant today because the president of the NCAA went to Congress to try to stop this from happening. So do you think that it would be a profit-sharing model like the teams that are making the Big Ten teams?
Anything. The final game, the national championship, there were probably hundreds of millions of dollars spread around through advertising. That there's a way to figure it out. But when Mark Elmert and the NCAA, they've got all the power, all the athletic directors, all the coaches, everybody making so much money. And don't forget, every congressman went to a college. And when it comes down to it, that I went to Kentucky, I went to Texas, I went to Oklahoma, I went to USC, I went to Michigan, and they're going to root for those teams. They don't want to upset it. So Mark Elmert will probably win. I mean, the NCAA will, because of their sheer power and their lobbying money, which is the way things work. Because, again, the players have no power. And we're abusing them. So many of them are minorities in these big sports. People will say, well, they get treated so wonderfully. They got these beautiful locker rooms. They get a free scholarship. Yes, but they're incredibly talented. Incredibly. And your university is profiting from them. And it's just, if you believe in free markets, if you don't, that's fine. Let the government control it. That's what we're saying, basically. Let the government set the standards here, and you know, let the old grizzled white haired old boys make all the money, and let these young kids, so many of them minorities, good luck. Get that education from Clemson, son. Hope that's enough for you.
Well, and that's you make a point. No, I get it. I mean, and I totally respect your perspective on this because I've been reading you write about this for 40 years. So I know that this is that, and you make an excellent series of excellent points because eventually the bow is going to have to break here. And the fact that endorsements, not even endorsements, they can't even go out and whether it's a, first of all, they already get these things from the boosters too. You know this. Rick Tellender, you realize that on college campuses, especially like, you know, the Ohio State is one of the great examples of this. And I'm a fan of the Ohio State University football program, but they had one of the craziest things happen. Their star running back, who, you know, left the university and then wasn't playing in the NFL, went back to the car lot that he used to just to an actual real car dealership where he would just walk onto the dealership and grab a car and leave. Because that's what he was allowed to do. He did it again, and then they arrested him for stealing the car because he had already graduated, and I use that in quote marks, graduated from the school and go, no, you're not playing anymore. You don't get a car, right? And wait, you couldn't give him a car for playing, right? So Maurice Claret, I mean, go look up that story. It is an amazing story. And he was arrested.
I remember it. I remember that. And the kid wanted money. Everybody said he was greedy. You know, most of the players, when you rebel, you're an outcast. When I first wrote The 100-Yard Lie, I got heat from everywhere. And Bo Schembechler, the godly coach and athletic director at Michigan, came after me and said, I don't remember game plan for that Tellender. And I was like, okay, because we didn't play Michigan my junior and senior years. Because of that, he didn't even know it. But he was going to undermine what I had to say, whether it was truth or not, by how they had played against me.
Was I
any good or whatever? I mean, it's like they'll find something to undermine your argument. If the argument is infallible. I'm sorry, it just isn't made properly.
I agree with you. Rick Tellender, Chicago Sun-Times, 100-yard lie. Go look for that as it returns to bookshelves. Rick, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate your passion on this.
Always, Ro. Take care, bud.
All right, we'll do the news for Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Radio Chicago, this is AM 720. WGN.